Before I read the scripture, Pastor Pan, someone paid your son Aaron what I think is one of the greatest compliments I've ever heard a musician being paid. We love him at the 6 p.m. service. In fact, one person says they only come to the 6 p.m. service when Aaron leads. But another person said that when Aaron leads, he disappears and he allows us to really worship the Lord. And it's our prayer that his like son, like father, that you'll have a chance to really share Jesus Christ with us. It's a privilege to have you here. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham, and we have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me because there is no place in you for my word. I declare what I have seen in the Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father." Pastor Pan, welcome to Union Church.
Thank you, Pastor Greg, for your kind words and welcome. Thank you for the church for inviting me to come and share the pulpit with you. First of all, greetings from Glasgow, Bonnie, Scotland. Weather like this make me feel very much at home. You know why? When I first came to Glasgow, my pastor, a Scottish, would always describe Scotland as very, very, very beautiful. I said, "What do you mean?" Now I stay in Taipo, right? I feel very much at home because most of my congregation came from Taipo, New Territories. The reason I like it there is because you can see the hills, right? And a lot of people in the market. And the pastor would say to us, when he always introduced Scotland, he said, "When you see the hills, it is going to rain. When you don't see the hill, it is raining. Today I don't see the hill. I feel very much at home." And this is the talk of the town, isn't it? Since yesterday to today, Mok Lai Fei, Miss Mok, I don't know how they came to the name, I would be interested to find out. And there's no stranger to us. I mean, my children would be able to tell you, number 8, right? I think our gale force can match your typhoon, you know, especially at this time of the year, or even, it's always the force coming in. We don't care. We also go out. But then you get a lot of accidents, you know, people will suffer. But you are more prepared whenever it comes. Everybody is ready. And I'm thankful for Hong Kong. In fact, as I received the invitation, I say to myself, "I'm here on holiday, Pastor Greg." But then another voice says to me, "You have received much over the years from the pastor, from the church in Hong Kong. It's about time you give back something, isn't it?" So this is why I'm here, at the disposal of the Spirit of God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Thou art a great God, and we worship You. And right now we ask that You will help us to be still in the storm and this wet weather, for You are the God of the storms. But within the storm, You are the God of peace. So we ask that You help us to be still before You and open our hearts to your word, and please, Lord, be gracious to open your words to our responsive heart. We trust the speaker and your children unto you. May you come and teach us what you want to us to hear, to listen, and to obey above all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have read the gospel, I'm sure you noticed when you were introduced to the ministry of John the Baptist and Jesus himself when they come into the Baptist ministry, the message is simple and the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, that is to the Jews, or to the Chinese, heaven is God, isn't it? To the other non-Jewish people, for the kingdom of God is near. I like the older version, for the kingdom is at hand, but first you must repent. The kingdom of God at hand, that means you can touch it. But the prerequisite is you must repent. That means you turn around, laying your life to God, saying that God has been on my own. I'm my boss, but now God will take over my life. That is the prerequisite. The condition before we enter, before we touch even the kingdom of God. Now, as we hear this message, even though it's simple, but it's always very cutting to our hearts. We are very excited when we hear this message. God is inviting us to enter this kingdom of God that will be, it will be shaken by the storm, by fire, because he is God, the everlasting Father. Now, as we repent, in other words, we ask God to forgive us. We not only confess and receive forgiveness of sin, but in God's mind, he would always expect us to continue, to hold on to his teaching. When we say that we repent and accept Jesus as our Lord, as our King, is he really the King of your life and of my life? Because if that is not so, then we have not grasped what it means to enter into the kingdom of God. May I pause for a while just to ask you and ask myself, who is the boss of your life, of my life? A well-known Scottish minister during my student days, and there was a talk of the student academic or the theological students when we first heard, he said, I quote, "If Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all." So is he the Lord of your lives? Is he Lord of all areas of your life and my life? So when Jesus called people to follow him, what he expects is what we have been introduced, the first disciples. If you read Mark, it's very significant. In the older version, they left immediately to follow him, isn't it? And in the newer version, it's at once. Or they without delay, they just left everything. There is a true commitment in following what Jesus said, what he demands. What about us today? When Pastor Greg invites you to do something, oh, I'm too busy. Oh, wait a minute, okay. Who so-and-so is better than I? Let him do it, or let her do it. Are we willing to come as if we will hear the voice of God through his servants inviting you to serve, to follow him? But for the early disciples, they always act immediately without any delay. Jesus' desire is the command to them without any doubts. They were prepared to right away to act according to this teaching. That means they would commit themselves totally at his word and to be obedient. That's why when we come to this middle section of the gospel, going on, you will know towards the last, at the end, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave them the commission. Isn't it? It's very well known. You continue obeying my teaching, then he will be with us. We always long that his presence is with us, isn't it? It doesn't just stop at the Christmas when we sing Emmanuel, O Emmanuel, come. We always say that God is with us. Is it really so? I was shocked yesterday when I lift up the South China Post. 80% of the youngsters are prone to be exposed to pornography in the internet. As young as 10 would download. I once heard a testimony by a father, like father, like son, Pastor Greg. The father was addicted to the internet. As you know, when he's shut up in a room, anything could happen, full of temptation through the net. And he was searching and searching, and then suddenly he was tempted by pornography. And he was deep down hooked to the screen. Suddenly he felt something is beside him. He thought, oh God, are you here? Then he looked down. His son was watching what the father is doing. Is God with you? Is he a holy God? I would hope when next time I come, the picture would change. If our church is praying for a youngster today, without prayer, I don't think our children have a future. A famous Chinese pastor in Hong Kong said, the modern generation, even though they have five fingers, but the three of them are not functional because they always do that. No matter you go, even in Glasgow, when my congregation, the children would be doing that. Then he said, you don't need the other three fingers. He said, God's will for our children. And what about the glasses as well? From young, I was amazed they have to put on glasses 800 degrees. Do our children have hope? Yes, hope in Christ. But at the cost of your prayer and my prayer. So let's not forget to pray for our young generation, hoping that they would really hold true to the kingdom, the truth of the kingdom of God. Now let's get back to our text. Jesus would always expect not just the moment that you gave your heart to him, it's every moment when he asks you to do something, you better do it. There and then. Do not say to others, yesterday I experienced God's kindness to me. What about this moment, the very day today? Or what about right now? Are you still be in touch, in tune with him? So just don't talk about history. Yesterday I was so full of God. What about today? Last month, God was so good to me because I acted immediately. Last year, I gave my heart to the Lord. What about this year? Have you gave your heart totally again? Rededicate yourself to him. So he is interested. He's a God of now. Not only of the past, but now and over of the future. But more important so for our text today, are you holding on to his teaching? As we read today in the Gospel of John, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's spend a few moments to consider Jesus' proclamation of this statement. If you are truly holding to my teaching, hold fast, you are truly my disciples. What are the true, real disciples according to Jesus' statement? Or secondly, what kind of true disciples is Jesus talking about? Or then the truth will set the disciples free. What does he mean by saying true freedom, real freedom? And thirdly, what are the practical applications of these two freedoms of the true disciples? Who are the true disciples, firstly? It's very simple, are those who truly obeying and holding on to his teaching. The Lord's teaching is the standard of your life and of my life. And he is a perfect example of how we should live a Christian life. When we start as a young Christian, it's not easy, isn't it? Because we have so much to learn. This, in our Christian life, is a whole process of learning. From the way we speak, the way we act, the way we treat one another, is always under scrutiny of Jesus' teaching. So it doesn't mean that, even though Pastor Gray and I are ministers, we have learned that. Oh, no. We are like you. Always is a struggle. Always we have to come under the light of the truth of Jesus so that we can learn to be more like him. I remember when I was studying from primary school in the old days. I do not know about now. Whenever there's a holiday coming, we are always been given the square exercise book to practice, you know. Primary one is a bigger box, isn't it? Tai Fong Gak. And then you go on Zhong Fong Gak, the middle square. And then when you go on to senior, Xiu Fong Gak. Why is it from big to middle to small? Because you are practicing every day, even during holiday, even though at the time I couldn't see it. But when, without the box, I can still write and people praise my writing, then I realize it's because of the teachers who are giving us some rules during the holidays to practice your writing. Similarly, when you are a young believer, a baby in Christ, it's a bigger box of Jesus' limitation or teaching. There is still more room to move around. But when you grow older, this box becomes smaller, smaller, until one day you are totally set free because you have obeyed his rule, isn't it? So this is our life as Christians. We need to practice it every again and again, always come back to Jesus' teaching, whether we have obeyed him totally. You know, in the Acts of Disciples, those who first believe are called disciples, isn't it? Apart from the 12 apostles. But normally, they would be known as disciples. And this is a real honor, actually, to be known as disciple. Although believers in Christ is also good. It's a good description. In Chinese, believers, sun, it means you trusted what Jesus has said. It's what basically that you have the relationship with God through Christ, that you believe in him. But then why in the disciples' time, they were known as disciples? When you are known as disciple, of course, there is a master, there is a teacher. Right, so they all known to be the disciples of Jesus, who is the master, who is the teacher. That means a disciple is always learning from the master. From learning from the master, and there is in the Old Testament, the apostles, Acts of Apostles time, the Acts, and the first Christians. That is the focus to behave, to act like their master, the Lord Jesus. That's why when you go on to Acts chapter 16, they were first known as, in Antioch, Christians, isn't it? I like the word Christian. When I was young, always people write to me, now you are Christians. They use bold letter, Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, small letter, I-A-N. And there is always a remark reminding me, Christ must be the boss. And then small letter, I. Have you ever written I in small letter? By the modern text. But then, we always write in big I, isn't it? Because you are the boss. I am the boss. But when you become a Christian, Christ must be the boss. I am nothing. I-A-N. So that's why people recognize these are true disciples of Jesus. Because they are Christ's people. Christ's man. In the Old Testament, those belong to God, God's man. Isn't it? So Christians belong to Christ. Christ's man. So that's why we will notice turning from Old Testament into New Testament, we have seen that this is an important progression because we are following Christ, who is the only way to the kingdom of God. And please, be proud of your description. People describe you as a Christian. But more so, pay attention what God and people are looking in you, whether you are Christ or you are still you. We must always portray that Christ is working in and through us. When you were baptized, or we truly, the text would be, we will be given, I am nothing, but now I live, but Christ lives in and through me. So let's be conscious to give Jesus all the glory. And that is a true disciple, and always act according, then people will see that we are following the Master as true disciples of Christ. Then, what does true freedom means to the disciples? Once we become true disciples, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. What does it mean? Here, Jesus talked about real and true freedom. That means you are really been set free from the bondage of sin. That's why he said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. If you still sin, no matter how small or how big, consciously or unconsciously, you are still in bondage. We need to come under the light of the truth of Jesus to set us free. The truth will set you free. That means that this is a real freedom. I must be clear now in saying that the real freedom is, you remember we talked about within the frame of Jesus' teaching, it's only within that freedom. It seems that it's not free, isn't it? It seems that, many people are non-Christian would say to us, I don't like your Christians, you're so bound by so many rules, do and don'ts. It's not so. If you know the truth will set you free. What does it mean? Even though it seems that we are quite strict, not free, but within that framework, we are truly free. Because we are under the limitation of the truth, then we actually experience what Jesus meant to be set free. For example, in the modern society or in the human realm, there's different laws, isn't it? The law of the land, the law of the traffic. I say, for example, train would always have a track, isn't it? But lately, within Europe or even China, we always heard that there are accidents by the train. Why would there be accidents? Because the train, the locomotive went off. It's not obeying the tracks. If they are truly obeying the law of the traffic or whatever, the train, the movement, the driver of the train would enjoy freedom, isn't it? No matter how fast within the speed limit, then it's free. But the moment you go off the track, not only you have an accident, you cause a lot of accidents and cost of life. Same to if you are a driver of a car. Many people from Hong Kong would love, when they first landed in UK, they would always hire a car. They say, in Hong Kong, we would not have such freedom of speeding. They were always, for my friends in any case, they will always get a hire of a car and enjoy at least the 80 miles limit in the motorway. Once there was a friend from Singapore with after graduation, he was so happy. He wants to celebrate, he hired a car. He said, now I want to drive down to London. The moment he drove on the car, when he reached the motorway or the highway, he began to speed. And he ignored the 80 miles per hour limit. He went on to 100 miles per hour. Before too long, there's a siren coming on. Even before he reached the border of Scotland and England, he was asked to pull aside. And then he said, the traffic police said, you know that you are causing an offense. I said, oh, is it not allowed? He said, no, you are offending, you have broken the law. Now, I want to confiscate your car. And he had nothing to, he couldn't do anything because he has broken the law. He has only enjoyed, I think, even just half an hour of freedom, according to his understanding. Freedom of driving. Not only that, you know that if you don't observe the traffic warning, for example, going through the red lights, we always have a warning in UK not to go through the traffic. Then you say, oh, nobody is watching. I just go through. But little do you know, it's often that's how accident would happen. You have freedom in driving, but then you have to be within the limit. And somebody will say, oh, I really enjoy in driving. If the police didn't see me, you feel very proud, cut through the red lights. But one day, should it happen again, you might not have a serious injury, but then if it's just a broken your leg, you say, oh, I'm okay. But then do you have freedom with the hard cast of laying on bed, and every time you need to depend on a nurse or your friend who visit you? Do you have freedom? Because you have broken even the law of nature. You cannot enjoy the freedom, what it meant for us. Now, Jesus is very, very clear when he gives us this instruction. And it's very true that he said that everybody who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. If the son set you free, you'll be free indeed. We talk about different laws. If you don't observe, you've broken it, then you suffer. You have no freedom. What about Jesus? Is he free? Was he free? Is the cross free? Will he enjoy the freedom of the cross? It's not free at all. If he has a choice, he wants to avoid the cross, isn't it? As we've seen in the Garden of Gethsemane. But because of you and I, he would be willing to go towards the cross. But then we pray that the cross is a symbol of the freedom in perfect love. Our Lord, through the cross, would portray and himself in total perfect love. That's why he was brave enough within the limitation of seemingly not free towards the cross, a narrow way. But then through it, he has set us free to become sons and daughters of the living God. Is God free? Well, of course, He's Almighty God, isn't it? Our great God. But then, in 2 Timothy, it says here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's just read to you. If 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13, if we are faithless, He, that is God, will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. God, in all His attributes, cannot disown Himself. Despite of our feeling, our sinfulness, He set it a point to save us through His Son. If He had the freedom, He could have abandoned all of us, isn't it? When He first met, He regretted it. But because He wants to display all that is in Him, mercy, just, holiness, if there was only one person who remained faithful in obeying to become righteous, He would save him like Noah. And this reminds us of the first flood, isn't it? The mercy of God is always there. Is He free? He could have destroyed us all without any headaches Himself. But then because of His love and His mercy, we have come to this stage to hear the message He wants to bring to us through His Son. When you have true freedom, the opposite is the false one. When you have true faith in Christ, there is a false one. So we need to be clear. That's why when you have true Hong Kong dollars, you have also false Hong Kong dollars, isn't it? Especially $1,000 one, everybody have to check. It happens in every country because it's a real one. So beware, there is also a false one. The false one would be coming from the enemy, that is Satan. He allows us, he said, if you follow me, even he challenged Jesus, you worship me, I'll give you the whole world. But then who owns the whole world? God the Father. He's still very subtle, trying to deceive us. Come, listen to me, he would say. You can enjoy all the freedom you have. Never mind about Jesus' teaching. You can be your own bosses. But then we know, if we keep on yearning to his temptation because our own flesh, we know the consequences, they'll be in bondage. That's why Jesus said, if we continue to sin, you are in bondage in sin. So true freedom means we come under the authority of the Word of God, the truth that Jesus is teaching us today, then only we will enjoy what true freedom is. Now lastly, what are the practical applications of this true freedom that Jesus meant us to enjoy? That he wants us, firstly, to make it a point. And somebody would have been saying, Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He wouldn't force you into the kingdom. He gives you a free choice whether you respond to him. If you truly respond to him, you experience the abundant life in him. So let us, in whatever stage we are, make up our mind, make it a point, in purpose, not to indulge ourselves in things that are against Jesus' teaching. That means His truth. Let us do things not to hurt Him. Let us do things according to His teaching. Of course, in our own weakness, we cannot do it, but then He has given us His Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to help us if we are humble enough to ask Him. Then in Galatians chapter 5, there is another teaching by Paul talking about freedom. I just want to read it to you. chapter 5 of Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Let me stand firm in the truth of God. Then do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. That means continue to be tempted to sin. You must always come back to the light of His Word. Then there is another place in within the same chapter, the same context. In verse 13, you, my brothers, including the sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourselves. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Our motive to serve must be coming out of the love of God. Now I want to close. Of course, there are a whole list of things that we can do in order to show us that we are truly enjoying this freedom. But I want to close in just one example, a true example, which I heard during my student days in the Bible seminary. A British missionary called Helen Roosevelt, I don't know if you've heard of her. When she was young, she was called to be a nurse to serve in those days that the nation was called in Africa, called Congo. I think it's Zaire today. But being a young nurse in a land that is always caught up in civil war, so people would pray earnestly for her. But unfortunately, it happened when she was nursing some of the needy people in Zaire. Then some of the armies came in and saw a beautiful European, and they were tempted, all of them in a group. She was raped, actually. I can't imagine what went through her. But when she was sharing with us, she was already retired. She was still faithfully serving the Lord, but then she said something very, 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 very pointing. She said that at that time, the moment, the whole world collapsed. She complained to God, God, why did this happening to me? I don't want to serve you anymore. I want to go back home. I don't want to know these people in Africa anymore. Tears keep coming down until she has no more tears. Then she returned home, receiving healing, but still can't get over what had actually happened to her. But then one day, she was kneeling, she was praying towards the cross. Suddenly, the perfect love reaching out to her, saying, Helen, it was for your sin and for many sins that I came, Jesus said. I was prepared to forgive you all. Will you not be prepared to forsake these people for my sake? At that time when she felt that, it's like the running water going through her. Remember, she had dried her tears, and the first time fresh tears came out. And there and then she truly received the total forgiveness of Jesus, and then truly forgive the people who hurt her, who damaged her. Then she was able to come up again. Lord, I rededicate myself to you. And I was so touched at that moment. Even though after many years, I still hear that she would be going around, even though she's elderly and retired. The last I heard, she was one of the speakers in South England, the Chinese Christian conference. So for such example, I give God thanks for their lives. That's why Jesus said, unless a seed fall to ground and die, it will not bear fruit. Even though he said to himself, there will be the message later on tonight. Are you and I willing for his sake? Even though it's hard to walk this life of the cross, are you willing? Now we would say that we would trust God and to say whatever he say us, let us do. But God expects us to fulfill the whole law, not just part and parcel. Because in James, it says that for whoever keep the whole law and yet stumble at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. So my brothers and sisters and friends, if you and I are truly saying that Jesus is the Lord, is he Lord of all? If not, he's not God at Lord at all. Are you saying to him, yes, Lord, I am obeying this? Is this just a local area? What about the whole being? Are we obeying? Continue to hold fast to his teaching. May the Lord bless you.